Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If you are one of the 241 million users of Twitter, you may have noticed that there are a lot more pictures on the site than there used to be. In other words, people aren't using their 140-character limit just for words anymore. They want to put photos in to make their points. Same thing is happening on Facebook. Alexander Howard has written extensively about social media and collaborative technology. He's a fellow with the Tao Center at Columbia Journalism School, and he's with us from Washington. Alexander, welcome.
Great to be here.
Well, is Twitter becoming more about the picture than the words?
Well, I don't think Twitter will entirely escape the words. They still matter. They frame what someone's trying to say. There are still many places in the world where people may text to tweet. You can still do that through SMS if you want, something I discovered recently when I was in the White House basement and needed to get tweets out and had no data connection. But there's no question that pictures are becoming a bigger part of the network, particularly if you're using Twitter's clients or other clients like Tweetbot, which is what I use, that show the pictures in line, which is to say you see the pictures when you log in. And in many cases, if you have a mobile device, a lot of social networks are much more image heavy. They show up as, you know, big glowing rectangles on the screen of your smartphone, on your tablet. And they immerse you in a way that perhaps a line of text would not. And Twitter itself has reported that people engage much more with a tweet that has a picture in it. That means they favorite it, they reply to it, they retweet it. And there's every reason to think that it'll become, I think, an important way that people continue to express themselves in every social network, not just Twitter.
Well, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, maybe it's people's way of getting around 140 characters.
That's a great point. And in fact, here in D.C., I often see many people in the media who will snapshot a statement from the White House or other government official or any corporation, and then we'll put the picture of all that text into the tweet. So in effect, instead of having to jam many, many statements together, they might be able to get 3 or 4 paragraphs into a single tweet, with then the text in the tweet acting as metadata for people to understand what it is they look at if they click on the picture or if they're just simply seeing it in line.
Do you think that Twitter is responding to Instagram, or Twitter users are responding to their experience on Instagram, or what?
Well, there's no question in my mind that Instagram's mobile-first success caught a lot of people's eye, whether it's in San Francisco or places around the rest of the globe. The fact that Instagram launched as just an app, there was no web presence at first, and did so well and offered a certain level of intimacy, you know, in terms of the feeling of it, where you're just, you know, scrolling through pictures with a very minimal amount of text, that was an attractive experience to people. And obviously, it was compelling enough that Facebook decided to acquire them, along with all the data that they're generating. Because remember, each one of these pictures may have location data behind it or other kinds of metadata, which makes it useful for a company to tap into. And Twitter, from all we know, was interested in Instagram as well. They decided not to buy them and to go in their own direction in terms of hosting pictures themselves. I think it would be reasonable to say, however, that Twitter's product people are looking at other kinds of apps and services and seeing what they're deploying and whether those features might make sense for them to add themselves.
And does it open the door, if Twitter is becoming more about photo sharing, does it open the door for somebody else to come along and do what Twitter had traditionally done, which was 140 characters of text?
Well, you know, if you look back at 2008, 2009, there are hundreds of different services trying to do what Twitter did. And some of them offered more space. Some of them offered more features. If you can do something better that solves a problem for a user or is more engaging, there's plenty of space to do that. The challenge is there's a network effect always. So why are people in a given space? What brings them back there? Is there something there that they find useful? If another service can provide that, then great. If you look at the, you know, success of WhatsApp, for instance, that clearly solves a problem across time zones where people can easily exchange messages without burning up their text messaging allotment or paying a lot. There are many other services which allow more ephemeral sharing of media, this kind of idea of direct social, where you're sending a picture to someone which goes away or that's anonymous, that's more intimate. And, you know, if those are better options for someone than the kind of much more public experience of Twitter, then they'll use that instead.
Now I'm imagining some sort of a mashup between Twitter and Snapchat where your tweets disappear after a few seconds. I guess we'll have to wait and see if that happens. I do want to ask you about one other thing, Alexander Howard, which is last month during the Academy Awards, Ellen DeGeneres shut down Twitter, at least momentarily, when she tweeted this picture. She called it a selfie, although it was not really a selfie. It was a group of people from the ceremony. And ever since then, that phenomenon, I'm calling it the groupie, has become very big on Twitter. People are taking pictures of groups, right?
It's happened more. I mean, look, there are very few platforms for getting an idea or a service out than the Oscars. The phenomenon of people taking pictures of themselves in front of things, though, is something that's been around for a long time. And it's really a form of self-expression. It's perhaps more native to people who have grown up with these devices. But if you look back a couple weeks ago, there was a picture of a young Colin Powell, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who took a picture of himself as a young man. And, you know, there's others of George Harrison or lots of other folks who've been really capturing themselves at a given time in a given place. And it's not just a moment, but it's an expression of that person, of the thing, of the story they want to tell about themselves to the rest of the world. Now, the difference, perhaps, in our moment is that we have powerful smartphones connected to the internet and social networks, so that moment can be shared with so many more people in the moment and commented upon and reshared, etc. You know, if you think about what the internet is to humanity at this point, it's a mirror. It shows the best and worst of us, and the phenomenon of turning the lens on yourself is really a way of storytelling. It's best understood that way as an expression. And if you're doing a group picture, well, then that's an expression of being social, of here are the people I'm with. You know, there's a phenomenon of selfies with Mitt Romney, the former presidential candidate, governor, you know, where you're capturing a bit of yourself with a historic figure. And I think that's something that we'll continue to see over time. Maybe the idea of a group of your selfie will lose some of the buzz, but the dynamic of telling the people connected to you something about yourself using that picture that's worth a thousand words, I think that's going to continue for a while.
Alexander Howard, fellow at the Tao Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia Journalism School. And where can we find you on Twitter, Alexander?
You can find me at Digifile, Digiphile.
Alexander, thanks so much.
Thank you.